Corporate media reaction to Donald Trump's April 7th missile strike on a Syrian airfield might be summed up in an ironic tweet from FAIR analyst Adam Johnson. Find someone who looks at you the way U.S. media look at bombs. Daily papers lined up to endorse Trump's action. As of April 11th, out of the top 100 U.S. newspapers, 47 had run editorials, 37 in favor, 7 ambiguous, and only 1 opposed to the military attack. Sample headlines: Syria strike shows U.S. resolve, striking Syria long overdue, and serious on Syria. The attack was a message to Russia and China, too. The public at the time was much more divided. An ABC Washington Post poll found 51% supporting the airstrikes and 40% opposed. The one anti-editorial from the Houston Chronicle opposed the attack on constitutional grounds. It lacked a legislative framework. Like every other paper, the Chronicle presented the Assad government's responsibility for the April 4th chemical attack on Khan Sheikhoun, the pretense for the strike, as a given, omitting qualifiers like alleged or accused. Immediately after the attack, as Americans were just forming their opinions, corporate media opinion was already established. Johnson looked at 5 top dailies: the New York Times, Washington Post, USA Today, Wall Street Journal, and New York Daily News, and found none offering any opinion space to anyone who thought the attack shouldn't have happened. The 5 papers ran a total of 18 op-eds, columns, or news analysis articles that either praised the strikes or criticized them for not being harsh enough. The New York Times ran a piece headed, "On Syria Attack, Trump's Heart Came First." The Washington Post called it Trump's chance to step into the global leadership vacuum. On television, we had MSNBC's Brian Williams opining weirdly about the beautiful pictures of fearsome armaments. And CNN's Fareed Zakaria embodied what FAIR's Jim Nerikes called the essential pundit take that Donald Trump became president of the United States by aiming Tomahawk missiles at a sovereign state. As a candidate telling Obama he should not get involved in the Syrian civil war, explained Zakaria, Trump showed he was unconcerned with global norms. This attack on another country, unjustifiable in terms of self-defense and unauthorized by the UN, shows Trump's education. He's, quote, recognized that the president of the United States does have to act to enforce international norms, does have to have this broader moral and political purpose. President Trump realized, as every president has for many decades now, that presidents always believe they have inherent legal authority as commander-in-chief, and they don't need to go to a pesky Congress every time they want military force, close quote. Zakaria's open contempt for public opinion or legislative process, his strange idea that asserting that the U.S. need not comply with international law reflects international norms, evoke earlier generations of war punditry. Nerikes recalled the New York Times' R.W. Appel, who declared of the elder President George Bush in 1989 that he had completed, quote, a presidential initiation rite, joining American leaders who since World War II have felt a need to demonstrate their willingness to shed blood to protect or advance what they construe as the national interest. Panama has shown him a man capable of bold action, close quote. Yes, Panama. The Washington Post was among the many who referred to the idea that with this airstrike, Trump was righting Obama's wrongs in Syria, picking up on what writer Reed Richardson called the dangerous Obama did nothing narrative. When folks like CNN anchor Jake Tapper ask, what will it take for the world to intervene in Syria? They're standing on its head a reality in which the U.S., Saudi Arabia, Turkey, Qatar, and Russia, for instance, have been intervening in Syria for years. The U.S. has been arming, funding, and training anti-Assad forces since at least 2012. The Post itself reported in 2015 that the CIA alone was spending $1 billion a year training Syrian rebels. After the oft-mentioned chemical weapons attack in Damascus in 2013, Obama negotiated a Syrian chemical weapons eradication program, Richardson notes, with Russian assistance. You can say that that didn't work, but you can't say that it didn't happen. One account in the Associated Press states flatly that after warning Syria that an attack would lead to U.S. action, quote, Obama failed to follow through. Rather than authorizing military action against Assad in response to a sarin gas attack that killed hundreds outside Damascus, Obama opted instead for a Russia-backed agreement to remove Syria's chemical weapons stockpiles. That was seen internationally as a major blow to U.S. credibility, and for Obama's critics, a prime example of weak leadership. Close quote. So just to underscore, AP is saying that non-military action is not action at all. To say such coverage is corrosive to democracy is an understatement. As Richardson concludes, if the press can't be trusted to honestly report what a previous president did or did not do in Syria, there's little hope for the press helping the public figure out what the current president should or shouldn't do there going forward. As we tape this show, we learn that the U.S. has dropped a massive ordnance air blast bomb, the largest non-nuclear bomb ever used in combat, on a supposed ISIS complex in Afghanistan. We'll see if corporate media think this is beautiful, too. You're listening to Counterspin, brought to you each week by the Media Watch Group Fair.